Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
How y'all doing? Oh, come on. We have some people need to wake up today. Come on. Now, y'all got, you're going to have to help me preach now. Come on. Come on. Come on. All right. You know, we read so much in the Christmas story in the books of Luke and Matthew. That's where most of the Christmas story is found. And in those books, we find stories of angels. We talked about that last week a little bit. Angels appearing to Mary and to Joseph and to shepherds. We read about wise men that would come to the Savior to bring their gifts to the newborn king. Powerful stories. Beautiful stories. I want to remind you, though, that there is always more that's going on in the story than what you're aware of. How many people know that? That there's always more to a story than what you know about. Some of you have been alive long enough. There's a very famous broadcaster. His name is Paul Harvey. He became famous for what he would call the rest of the story, where he would take something you thought you knew about, and he would actually give you a lot of information that you never knew. When Jesus came to the earth, there was a whole lot more going on than just mangers and stables and shepherds in a field. Excuse me. At the time of the birth of Jesus, the Jewish people were actually living under Roman occupation and a brutal and crazy king named Herod. The people were also under heavy taxation from Rome, which caused them great hardship. And in addition, the Jewish society, see if this sounds familiar, the Jewish society was divided both religiously and politically. Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun, is there? You see, they were divided between these group of one group called the Pharisees, who were kind of the people's party, so to speak. And they were proclaiming that the Jewish law must be followed to the letter and that they should have nothing to do with their Roman ruler people. And then you have the Sadducees, who were taking a more liberal stance on things and more willing to cooperate with the Romans. And if you had to pick one word about the context, and that's what we're talking about, the context of what was going on when Christmas came. The context, if you had to pick one word, it very well might be the word conflict. I want to talk to you today about conflict. You see, Jesus came into a world full of conflict. And Jesus himself would bring conflict, right? He was going to challenge the worldly system. He was going to challenge the religious system. And that brought a lot of conflict to the world. Conflict was everywhere, and conflict's a big part of the story of Christmas. I want to remind you again what we said last week, that Christmas, the actual day Jesus was born, is not nearly as important as what Jesus brought when he was born. Come on, come on. You see, Jesus brought with him a certain state of mind, we said last week in our sermon series as we began it, a Christmas state of mind. And that state of mind influenced how Jesus thought and how he lived. And last week we talked about the Christmas state of mind of cooperation, right? And how when we cooperate with God, when we partner with God, he will do incredible things in your life. If you missed that one, go check out the podcast. If you were here, you know what I'm talking about. But that's how we started our sermon series, A Christmas State of Mind, with the spirit of cooperation as a state of mind. Jesus had it. Jesus cooperated to come here. Mary had it. Joseph had it. The shepherds had it. And God's calling you and I to have a mindset of cooperation. Today, I want to bring you this concept of conflict, though. You see, Jesus was born in conflict, and yes, he caused some conflict with the message that he brought, but Jesus also brought the solution to conflict. You see, Jesus brought the solution of how to deal with conflict. I think it would be fair to say that everybody in this room today has some kind of conflict going on in your life right now. You just sit there and look, amen. You don't even have to raise your hand. And if you don't have some conflict, it's coming soon. It's coming soon. Because Jesus said very clearly in John chapter 16:33, it says, you're going to have trouble in this world. And how many people know that trouble always comes along with conflict most of the time, right? Conflict is a cousin of trouble. It comes with it. It shows up, right? However, in that same passage, Jesus goes on to say, but take heart. I have overcome the world. If we were to say it another way, it would be, take heart. I've brought some answers for how to handle your conflict, is what Jesus was saying. Listen up. You're going to have conflict in your life. It's going to happen. Jesus showed up, brought more conflict. But here's the beautiful thing about our Savior. Conflict resolution was one of his greatest mindsets and one of the best things that he knew how to do. It's one of the best things that Jesus brought was how to resolve conflict, what to do and what not to do. And if you really, really get down to it, Christmas is really the beginning of Jesus coming to fix the greatest conflict that ever has been. You see, back in a garden, there was a conflict created when Adam and Eve sinned against God, and therefore a separation took place. And see, at that very moment, a conflict was created. And so when Jesus came, Christmas is the beginning of him coming to resolve that conflict. So you got to get that. Christmas was about Jesus coming to resolve a conflict. That's why he's the greatest conflict resolver ever. He came to resolve your sin, my sin, because he was the only one that could. That's the overarching theme of how Jesus is the greatest at conflict resolution. But he also, when he lived, I want to share with you some things about how he showed us how to resolve the conflicts in our life when they come up. Because how many people know you're going to have conflicts? Say that with me. I'm going to have conflicts. One more time. I'm going to have conflicts. Oh, okay. All right. Just want to make sure we're in the right place today. So I want to give us today some lessons from the Master on how to resolve the conflicts that come into our life. Here's the very first one. Confront the right conflicts. Confront the right conflicts. You see, Jesus did not call out every person who ever heckled him. He did not blast everyone who disagreed with him and go and confront them. However, he also did not shy away from having the hard conversations when they needed to be had. You see, Jesus was an expert at conflict resolution. Now, Jesus did not take on every conflict, and neither should you. Hear me now. Jesus did not take on every conflict that came his way, and neither should you. He took on those conflicts that could not be put off and those problems that mattered the most. Those are the ones he decided to take on. For example, he confronted the Pharisees when they were trying to put burdens on the people that God never put on them. And when Jesus saw the conflict in the temple, where his father's house of prayer was being turned into a den of robbers, he could not stand by and avoid the conflict. He had to get involved. Jesus was strategic in how he chose his conflicts. He chose the conflicts that mattered most. Maybe you've heard of the phrase, pick your battles. Anybody hear that phrase before? Jesus was phenomenal at picking his battles. He was phenomenal at doing that. He chose the battles that were the most important and the most impactful. And that's what you and I can learn how to do also. You see, conflicts in your marriage, battles for your spiritual health, protecting your family, your children, fighting against spiritual forces of darkness, these are the kind of conflicts and battles that come into your life that you need to address. You need to address those. And you need to resolve those. Conflicts in these areas are so important because failing to resolve them only leads to hurt, pain, and trauma for you and for others in your life. Now listen, most of us want to avoid conflict, right? Is there anyone here that just loves conflict? I mean, maybe don't raise your hand. Just sit there and look for a minute. But I've found very few people in my life that actually enjoy conflict. I've come across a few. But for the most part, we want to avoid conflict. Why? Because it's hard and it's always difficult, right? Anyone who tells you conflict is not hard and difficult is lying to you, because it is. Look, I get that. But here's the issue. An important conflict, delayed or not acted upon, never makes it better. And most of the time makes it worse. Anybody live that out in your life? Hoping something would just go away, when really you needed to address it? Did it ever get better? Not too often. Not too often. Imagine if Jesus had not addressed what the Pharisees were doing to the people and just said, oh, yeah, it's not that bad. These Pharisees, they'll get it eventually. I'm just going to kind of sit back and hold back and see if this thing just resolves itself. Imagine if Jesus had done that. Sitting back and doing nothing was not an option. It was not an option for Jesus. People were getting hurt. Not only were people getting hurt, but his word was being perverted. Jesus couldn't just sit there and hope things would get better. No, he got into that conflict because it mattered, because it was important. Some conflicts in your life are going to require you to get into the fight because the stakes are just too high for you to ignore it. The stakes are just too high. And the pain of getting involved in the conflict, trust me, is going to be less than the pain of not. And there's some things in your life you need to be in the conflict in. You need to be in the battle in. And thank God that we have him to be in the battle with us, right? We're not going in there alone. So address those conflicts in your life that matter. And on the flip side, don't waste your time on conflicts that are of no consequence. Don't waste your time on conflicts that are of no consequence. That Facebook post, that Insta reel, that random comment from the driver, or the sign that you get from the driver next to you in the lane next door, those aren't worth your time. They're not worth you engaging in that conflict. You need your strength for the things that matter, right? You need your strength for the battles that are going to make a difference. Don't waste your time on conflict that has no consequence. Come on. Y'all ready for the next thing that Jesus taught us about conflict resolution? Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Perhaps you recall the story of the woman who was brought before Jesus and was found to be in the act of adultery. A very famous story in the Bible. Most of you have probably heard it. Well, Jesus used this opportunity to teach two important lessons. First of all, he said, worry about your own sin instead of worrying about someone else's. That was the first lesson. And then the second thing he did toward the end of that story is he was talking to the woman. He said, I do not condemn you. Why did he not condemn her? Because he was getting ready to go to a cross and pay for her sins, right? There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, is what the word says. However, the very last words that Jesus said to her were, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. You see, some people have this mistaken idea that Jesus is somehow soft on sin. No, he's soft on people. He ain't soft on sin. Oh, you know, you got to get this. I can't tell you how many times Jesus talks about the need to repent in his word, the need to follow his commandments in his word. It's all throughout the Bible. Jesus has never been, nor is now, nor will ever be soft on sin. Don't ever mistake that, but he is soft on people. He loves you. He loves me. In fact, John 1:14 describes Jesus as coming to earth full of grace and full of truth. Both of those things. It wasn't just one. It was both. Grace and truth, my friends, are a powerful combination when it comes to conflict resolution. You got to get that. Grace and truth are a powerful combination when it comes to resolving the conflicts that you're going to be in your life. When you enter a conflict, imagine following in the footsteps of your Savior and approaching the issue or the person with both grace and truth. You see, you show grace when you take a minute to actually look at that person's situation, right? Have some compassion about how they arrived at where they've gotten to. Some understanding about their pain or their shame. Now, this does not mean you have to agree with them, right? But you're acknowledging their hurt and their pain. Jesus did not agree with what the woman had done, but he had compassion on her because he took the time to understand her pain and her shame. And then he hit her with the truth. Then he didn't let it go. He then shared the truth. Why did he share the truth? He didn't share it to condemn her or to prove he was right. He didn't do it because of any other reason other than he wanted her to know the truth so that the truth would set her free. That's the reason he shared the truth with her. The next time you enter into a conflict, I challenge you to ask yourself these questions. How can I show mercy and compassion before I ever speak one word of truth? How can I show mercy and compassion before you get to the truth that you want to share? Next, is the truth that I want to share being given to prove that I'm right? Mm-hmm. Oh, we're getting quiet. Uh-huh. Well, here's one. Is the truth being spoken, the truth I want to speak, because I love this person or I want to put them down? Are you using the truth as a weapon or as medicine in their healing? Oh, come on now. Are you using the truth to try and beat somebody up? Okay. Is it God's truth or my truth? Let's get to that one next, right? Is the truth that I'm telling this person my opinion, or is it rooted in God's word? Don't be making up stuff and saying God said this or no. You better make sure if you're saying this is God's truth, you better make sure it's in this book. Because if you can't find it in this book, it ain't true. Right? People don't necessarily need your opinion. Your opinion's not going to set them free. The truth of God's word can set them free, though. See why it's important? And really, that's the last question to ask. Is this truth I'm going to give that I want to share, is this actually going to help set them free? And if it's just your opinion, the answer is no. If it's in God's word, there's a good chance it could set them free if it's delivered in the right context, the right way, in the right circumstance, right? In your next conflict, approach it, go into it filled with grace and truth. And I think you're going to be amazed how much better resolution you're going to get in your conflicts if you'll go into those with grace and truth. All right, here's another one that Jesus was just fabulous at. He was fabulous at focusing on the root cause of the conflict. You know, Pastor Karen, a couple weeks ago, how many of you remember, preached about the lame man at the pool of Bethesda, right? She did such a beautiful job of showing us that this man's problem was not what he thought it was. See, he thought the issue was getting into the water, but his real problem was he needed to trust Jesus Christ for his healing. You see, until they got to the root issue, and Jesus very clearly got to the root issue very quickly by saying, do you want to be well? Not listen for excuses, not listen for 58 reasons why, you know, Jesus just blew by all of that and just simply said, do you want to be well? He got to the root, right? And once he got to the root, then the man was healed. Remember that? When you enter into conflicts, oftentimes what we need to do is get past what's going on the surface and get down to the root of the conflict if we want to get it resolved. You know, many years ago, excuse me, when Pastor Karen and I were first married, we had some intense fellowship one time about some finances. So I had just taken over paying the bills. Like I said, we were just newly married. And I missed a due date on one of the bills. And wow, guess what? We got late fees. And guess what? Pastor Karen wasn't real happy about that. Hey, what happened with this bill? Well, we continue to have intense fellowship. And how many of you have been in these kind of, you know, discussions, let's call them discussions, where you start off on one thing and all of a sudden there's all these other things that come into the equation. I mean, we got past this one bill really quick. Like, well, what about when you did this? And what about this? And then I'm back. And, well, yeah, but what about when you didn't do? Whoa, wait a minute. We're talking about one late bill. How do we get into all the weeds here? You see, that's what can happen when we don't focus on the root of the conflict. You know, how many of you have been in that situation where you're trying to get something resolved and you just go right past what the real issue was, and you just bring all these other things into the equation? Yeah, get to the root cause, and you're going to find that your conflicts have a way better chance to be resolved. A way better chance. Because finally, once we got back to the root, Pastor Garen laid the spreadsheet on me. You know, this is the spreadsheet that she, when she was a single mom, she had this spreadsheet down to the dollar about how she spent her money. And he said, hey, why don't you just take this spreadsheet and use this thing? Oh, well, we can actually resolve something here. What do you know? Yeah, babe, that's a great idea. Right? How about if we just got to the spreadsheet to begin with? You hear what I'm saying? I mean, I just would have saved a whole lot of pain, if you know what I mean. Right? Okay. Yeah. There's one final part of conflict resolution that Jesus just understood so well. And I want to share it with you right now. Know when to walk away. Know when to walk away. Look at what Jesus did, how he reacted when he found out that his cousin, John the Baptist, had been beheaded. This is what it says in Matthew 14, verse 13. When Jesus heard about that, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. And then I want to show you what Jesus said to his disciples as found in Matthew 10, verse 14. Jesus said this, "And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or that town." If we look at these scriptures in the context, in what's going on here, we see two examples where Jesus says it's okay to walk away. But we need to talk about what walking away looks like and what that means. First of all, there's a reason why I chose to make this the fourth and final point, because so often people start with this as the first point. You see, walking away should really be a last resort, not a first response. Now, you need to hear this. That's consistent with Scripture. Okay, we ought to do, the Word says, you do all that you can do, and then you cannot control what someone else does. But we do have a responsibility to do what we can do. In these examples, though, we have two different scenarios about walking away. And I want to talk about the first one first, which is when Jesus got this hard news about his friend, he didn't jump right into the conflict. He didn't go to the king that had ordered the beheading. He didn't go to the guy that swung the axe. He didn't go to the mob and say, "How could you do this to my cousin?" He didn't get immediately into the fray. Okay? He didn't jump right into the conflict, because he needed some time to heal himself. He needed to take a minute, step back, go to the Lord, get some help for his own heart, right? And sometimes there's going to be hard things that come into your life. Conflicts, tough conflicts, the death of a loved one, that medical diagnosis, a divorce, the loss of a job. There's some things that are just harder than others. And I want you to hear that it's okay to take a step back for a minute and regroup. You don't have to jump right into that conflict immediately. Jesus didn't. In fact, not only here, but in many places in Scripture, it says Jesus retreated to go have some time with the Father and pray. when some conflicts come your way, it's okay to take a step back for a minute. Say, okay, I got to go process this for a minute. Now, keep in mind what it says Jesus did, though. It says he went into a boat where he could kind of get away from everybody else. But it didn't say he sailed away in the boat and never came back. Okay, said he, you know, he went to a place. He worked on his healing, worked on his own heart, worked on processing. You got to understand, he and John were close. John was the forerunner for Jesus. He's the one crying in the wilderness, make way for the. I mean, you got to know how close they were. And Jesus would say of John, of every man ever been born of woman, there is none greater than John. That's how important John was to Jesus. You need to understand that relationship. So he was deeply hurt. He was, although, of course, Jesus knew it was coming. But hey, come on. How many people have lost somebody? Even if you know it's coming, it's still hard. Even if you know it's coming, it's still hard. Jesus needed some time to heal. Sometimes you're going to need some time to heal. But that healing is not a reason to go isolate and never come back. And we have too many people, unfortunately, when those hard things in life, sometimes they use it as, I won't say use it, they fall into the trap of isolation, depression, because they realize, wait, there's a difference between healing and getting it, so you can get back into the game, as opposed to just retracting yourself and staying out of the game. See, Jesus knew he had a mission to fulfill. You still have things in your life that God needs you to do, even when hard things come. But it's okay to take a step back and heal just for a minute. Okay? Now, the other thing, what is this thing about shaking dust? What is that about? Well, you see, what's going on there is Jesus made that statement when he sent his disciples out to preach the gospel. And what he was saying to them and what he was saying to you and I is that sometimes you're going to do everything that you can. You're going to love people. You're going to do everything you can, right? You're going to serve them, love them, give them God's word. And some people are just going to be resistant to listening to you. That's what he was saying. And he said, if you come across somebody like that, after you've done what you can do, because remember, before this, Jesus had told them what they're going to do. You're going to go out and preach the gospel. You're going to bring my message. So he said that after, meaning you go do all this, and then if they don't want to listen to you, then it's okay for you to walk away at that point. Why did Jesus say that to them? Why? Was he trying to be mean? No. You see, Jesus understood some things about conflict resolution that you and I need to get. First, a hard heart is hard to crack. Can I get amen on that? A hard heart is hard to crack. Someone that's made up their mind, that's literally not willing to listen. It's going to be hard to resolve some things with somebody that has that mindset. On the other side of the equation, Proverbs 4:23 tells us that you and I have a responsibility to guard our heart. You see, Jesus knew that. He didn't want his disciples getting discouraged and internalizing. You see, that's what's going on. That's what happens when we have to protect our heart from things like shame and guilt. Did I do enough? Did I not do enough? He was guarding his disciples' hearts and telling them in that one thing, sometimes you're going to need to walk away for both of those reasons. One, because someone, you cannot change someone's heart. Only God can do that. And then you have to protect your own heart. And sometimes, Brandon, if you'll come, sometimes in the conflicts that you're going to be involved in, that's where you're going to find yourself. So you have to know and you have to have the wisdom of what to do and when to do it. And here's the thing. Sometimes when you walk away, you have to simply be able to bless them in Jesus' name. Hey, you don't walk away cursing them. You don't call down fire from heaven upon them. That's God's deal, not yours. If you ever have to walk away, you do it well. You do it blessing. You do it loving, even if they don't, because that's where your heart needs to be protected. Come on, am I preaching to somebody today? This is, you know, this holiday season, this Christmas season, for many people can be one of conflict in our families, sometimes even in our own hearts. It's not just singing around a Christmas tree. That's beautiful. It's wonderful. But for so many people, Christmas time is a time of conflict. And it's important we understand how to handle it from the master of conflict resolution. Christmas time can really and really is about having a state of mind about resolving conflict. We can better handle the conflicts that come into our life by choosing the right conflicts. Because choosing the right conflicts helps us not spend time on ones that have no consequence. By speaking the truth in love, this is so important in resolving conflicts, because for most people that you're in the conflict with, they're not going to care about what you say until they know how much you care. Grace and truth. Remember, it's the loving kindness, the word says, of Jesus that draws people to repentance. The loving kindness of Jesus is what draws people to repentance. Keep that in mind the next time you want to share truth. Start with grace. We can resolve conflicts also by getting down to the real cause. Get down to the root and don't get sidetracked on things that won't help you get the conflict resolved. Get to the root and there's a great chance that your resolution is going to come quicker and faster and in a more healthy way. And finally, keep your heart healthy when it comes to conflict resolution by knowing, first of all, when to walk away. Not every battle has to be fought right away. And some battles are just best left to God. Aren't you glad that Jesus brought a conflict resolution mindset? That he taught us how to do it, and that he solved the greatest conflict, which was paying for our sins on a cross. What a Savior we serve. I hope you're as happy as I am about that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and we come before you now so grateful for this mindset that Jesus brought of how to handle the conflicts that come into our lives. Jesus, thank you for bringing that mindset with you when you came to earth so that we could learn how to do it well. And Jesus, we thank you for resolving the greatest conflict of all time when you came as a baby in a manger and then grew into a man who went to the cross to pay the price for our sins so that we could be reconciled to you and to the Father. For that gift, for that resolution of our sins, Jesus, we are forever and we are eternally grateful. And it's in your mighty name, the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that we pray right now. Amen. And with every eye still closed and every head still bowed, listen, I think there may be somebody here today, and you've not yet given your life to the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. I invite you right now, if that's you today, take this opportunity right now in this moment to do that. God's word says that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. That experience is called salvation. When you believe in Jesus and what he's already done for you, then your name is written in the book of life, is what it says. So I want to invite you to believe that. And just express that belief in a simple prayer that I'd like to lead us in. And listen, if you've already made that decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life, whether that was last week or 50 years ago, it's always a great reminder to say it in support of somebody that may be doing this for the first time, because it reminds us what we signed up for when we said yes. So let me invite you just to pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins on a cross. And I believe that you rose again. Today, I repent of my sins. Lord, wash me clean and make me new. Today, I give you my life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen, amen.